From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. As investment firms hoping to take over a Texas power company were refining their bid last month, they asked for help from an unusual source, environmental groups. Outfits like Environmental Defense and others have been fighting the power company, TXU, over its plans to build nearly a dozen new coal-fired power plants. The private equity firms, Texas Pacific and KKR, wanted to know what it would take to get green groups to support the takeover bid. The result of the talks is a $32 billion proposed cash buyout of TXU that could bring a dramatic reduction in the growth of the firm's greenhouse gas emissions. The deal isn't final yet. Still, as Living on Earth's Jeff Young reports, when environmental groups are at the table for what could become the biggest corporate buyout in U.S. history, you know something very different is going on.
TXU executives were so sure their new power plants would be built, they had already signed contracts for boilers to burn the coal. And why not? After all, the Texas governor himself had put permits for TXU's 11 coal-fired facilities on a fast track to approval. But that fast track quickly derailed. Now, private equity firms are gobbling up TXU, teaming up with environmentalists, and knocking down plans for all but three of those coal-fired plants. The seed of this change might have come from a scrappy little Texas group called SEED. That's Sustainable Energy and Economic Development. Last fall, SEED director Karen Haddon went on a hunger strike to protest the massive greenhouse gas emissions new coal power would bring.
We're very concerned that what's happening here in Texas could undo the gains made elsewhere in the country. We don't want that to happen, and we're fighting hard.
Soon, it wasn't just environmentalists speaking up. The mayors of Dallas and Houston, the Waco Chamber of Commerce, ranchers, and Republican lawmakers all had concerns about coal power. Republican State Representative Charles Doc Anderson wrote a bill to slow down TXU's permits.
Haste makes waste. Let's do it right. Let's not rush things. Let's look out for the health of our people, and Texas can lead the nation.
By January, Anderson's proposed moratorium on coal was gaining strength, despite a small army of TXU lobbyists in the State House. Then, two leaders in the U.S. Senate weighed in. Democrats Jeff Bingaman and Barbara Boxer chair the Senate Energy and Environment Committees, respectively, and both want a law to cut the country's greenhouse gas emissions. They wrote an opinion piece in a Dallas newspaper putting TXU's potential investors on notice.
It made a point that needed to be made about TXU not being able to assume that future coal-fired plants would be grandfathered in if we're able to adopt a cap-and-trade system. I think that's a point that needed to be made, so we were glad to make it.
TXU's financial backers got nervous, and that's when private equity firms pounced with a $32 billion buyout. The mix of uneasy investors, local opposition, and shifting national politics paved the way for what would be the biggest corporate buyout in U.S. history. And that, in turn, could prove a historic turning point in the effort to combat climate change.
This is really about the role of big business in helping to solve the global warming problem.
That's David Hawkins of the Natural Resources Defense Council. The money managers planning to take over TXU asked NRDC and the group Environmental Defense to join a secret week of negotiations to give the deal a green stamp of approval. The result is a pledge to turn a company that would have been one of the country's biggest sources of greenhouse gases into one that will dramatically cut emissions. The new TXU would meet much of its energy demand through efficiency and wind energy. It would tie executive pay to environmental performance. And it will join a business team lobbying Congress for a law to control global warming pollution. Now, that deal still has to win approval from Texas lawmakers worried about ratepayer costs, and other investors might yet make rival bids. But if finalized, the buyout would bring a remarkable turnaround, made more noteworthy by the players involved.
I think it's quite a powerful signal being sent by kind of the core of the investment industry.
Dan Riker once had a top position in the Department of Energy. Now he directs clean energy investments for Google. He notes the investment team behind the buyout includes heavy hitters like Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs.
This is the core of Wall Street sitting down and saying, we're not going to place as big a bet as we thought we were on old-fashioned coal-fired power plants.
Even some coal-rich states are getting the message. Montana's Democratic Governor Brian Schweitzer says it's time for coal companies to start dealing with their greenhouse gases if they want Wall Street to deal with them.
There's going to have to be some companies that take the lead so that these new zero-emission coal plants will get built and electricity will be delivered to the markets.
Many in the climate science community see the TXU buyout as a positive move. Woods Hole Research Center director and Harvard professor John Holdren just helped write a United Nations report called Confronting Climate Change.
We say that the world should no longer build any coal-burning power plants that are not amenable to retrofit to capture and sequester their carbon dioxide. None, no more.
Around the country, there are still some 150 coal power proposals on the drawing board. Environmental groups, emboldened by the success of the TXU takeover, aim to stop them. So the companies in the coal business can expect to feel some heat. For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young in Washington.
Now, there are still many details to be worked out for the TXU deal. One key question is how compatible the proposed three new coal-fired power plants would be with emerging technologies that could capture their global warming gases. But even having such questions in play indicates a big change in thinking by major investors, including Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and other Wall Street investment banks that are backing up the deal. For a closer look at this shift in the economic landscape, we turn now to Billy Pizer. He's an environmental economist and senior fellow at Resources for the Future, a think tank in Washington, D.C. Hi there.
Hello, Steve.
So walk us through what these two private equity firms are hoping to do by purchasing TXU. This energy market is a very complicated business.
Well, I think they believe that they can rearrange, repackage, manage better in a way that'll raise the asset value of the company and that at some point in the future they can sell it and make money. The thinking that they have is that there's something that's undervalued there and that by bringing their expertise to the table, they can add value, they can increase the brand value, they can increase the efficiency of the organization, they can do something to change the way the company is run or operated or perceived that raises its value. And that's what their interest is when they take over a company like this.
So what's the strategy on including environmental groups at this stage of the negotiations? And what do you think the environmental groups achieve by coming to the table?
Well, that's a good question. I think that, you know, for KKR and the other funders, you know, the real advantage of bringing the environmental groups in is the environmental groups give them more stakeholders at the table, bringing support for this deal. So it just kind of makes sense that if all these people were cheering against TXU before and you can bring them to the table cheering for the new guys, and that's going to put additional pressure to make the deal go through. In terms of what the environmentalists get, they presumably were able to negotiate better pieces of the deal than they would have gotten if they hadn't been at the table. So you have money being spent on energy efficiency. You have a commitment to renewables. Whether or not those things were originally on the table when the buyers started crafting the deal is not clear. But certainly the environmentalists, I'm sure, got something out of the deal.
How much of a sea change in our approach to coal-fired power plants does this proposed deal represent? I mean, is this some kind of a watershed event, this proposal?
I don't think it's a huge watershed. I mean, the bottom line is they're still building three coal plants, and they're going to do some additional renewables, and they're going to do some energy efficiency. But in a growing part of the country, they're going to need more power. And a really complicated question is, what is that power going to look like, that new baseload capacity? And fundamentally, there are only three choices. There's natural gas, there's coal, and there's nuclear. You can build renewables, but you need to have backup generation when the wind doesn't blow. You can do energy efficiency, but when you invest in energy efficiency, you're not quite sure what you're going to get. So there's going to have to be some more capacity built. And when people look at the spectrum of those three choices, a lot of times coal still comes up looking good. And I think what the environmentalists are pushing for is just don't build more than you need and try to work as much as you can on the renewables. Try to work as much as you can on the energy efficiency. So it's not so much a sea change as much as I think it is kind of mounting pressure to think harder about how much coal is going to be built.
Some of the banks that would lend Texas Pacific Group and KKR the money for this are putting some of their own equity into the deal. I mean, why are banks willing to take on extra risk in this case?
Well, I mean, they have to feel like it's a good deal. I mean, they have to feel like there is a profit opportunity for them there. They clearly are attracted, I think, to the environmental angle. I think it kind of benefits everyone, including the environment. And so, you know, I think they're there because they think that the management team that the investors are putting together and the strategy they have for saving money and helping the consumers, helping the environment, and helping the investors is a solid one. And, you know, the other thing is I think that there is a sense in which, you know, these guys are kind of reading the tea leaves in terms of the direction that policies are going and the direction that we're moving in the country. And the fact that they've kind of recognized this and they're putting their money into it, I think, has attracted other people's money. And, you know, when you see other investors kind of realizing that this is the direction, there are a lot of people out there trying to make money off of this change that's going on in the United States. And, you know, I don't call it a sea change, but I call it, it's a gradual change taking place as people look towards more environmentally friendly investments. And the people who are quicker on the draw are going to make more money, and the people who are slower are not.
What's really the most important thing about this proposed buyout for the climate change debate?
I think it highlights where the middle is. I think on the one hand, you have a bunch of companies out there who maybe kind of living in the past a little bit, thinking a lot about coal as being the way of the future and pulverized coal as being, you know, the way we've done it before and the way we're going to keep doing it in the future. On the flip side, you have environmentalists who don't want to see any new coal builds happen from this day forward. And what this deal, I think, represents is how the middle is going to work. You're going to build some coal plants, but you're going to spend money on energy efficiency. You're going to spend money on renewables. And it's going to be a package of things that leads to less emissions than we would have had otherwise, but it's still going to require some emissions growth, especially for the near term. And I think the really valuable message from this is there is a way forward, and there is a way that we can compromise between what the two sides are arguing for and still end up satisfying our customers and satisfying the environment and satisfying investors.
Billy Pizer is an environmental economist and senior fellow at Resources for the Future in Washington. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Steve.
You can hear our program anytime on our website or get a download for your iPod or MP3 player. The address is loe.org. That's loe.org.